Could we welcome you tonight in the Lord's name? Glad to see you. And we trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Just one or two announcements at this stage and we get into the meeting. Just re-emphasizing the restrictions, social distancing while entering and exiting the building while in the building. Let's not drop our guard on that one. Offering baskets as you leave at the exits. You will see the Missionary Council offering baskets are separate, as this is Missionary Council Sunday. Do remember that, please. And remember also, if you have gifts for Nepal, if you could put it separately into the, that's the Nepal appeal we were mentioning this morning. If you put it separately in an envelope, mark it for that, then it's easier for us to deal with it. Don't throw it in with the Missionary Council offering loosely, please, if you can remember that. And then, could I just mention that Wednesday night we have our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 p.m. in this hall. Survey of the New Testament will be continued, and the Epistle to Romans this week. And I will be along to bring the Word of God. Youth Fellowship on Friday night by Zoom. We thank all of you for linking into that on Friday night. We had a really good time, and I think really we could include year seven even. If you're year seven, you can still link into that. I know it's normally year eight, but we encourage young people to come into that on Friday night, 8 p.m. Thank Johnny for setting that up. Do remember, please, that Friday night, 8 p.m. All the church meetings and activities, as you understand, are being kept under constant review. We can't have a lot of things we'd like to have, but we're looking at that. One is communion, and we'll be looking at that soon in relation to the Lord's table. Next Lord's Day is Reformation Sunday. We'll think about the Reformation, think about how we got our English Bible and the importance of our English Bible, and that'll be next Lord's Day morning in the morning worship service. In the evening time, we're continuing in the miracles of Christ in John's Gospel. Remember the prayer meeting. Good to see some who are able to come at that time, 6:20 and to 6:45 upstairs in the youth room. Remember those two who are stricken with illness at this time, many in our congregation going through various procedures, and do pray for them that the Lord's hand will be upon them this week. Especially remember our sister Mary on Wednesday. She has a scan on Wednesday and asks for prayer for that. And then Dr. Kearns and his wife have both been taken ill the past week. Do remember Dr. Kearns, your prayers. He's in hospital, his wife's ill at home. So please keep them in your prayers at this time. LTBS calendars for 2011 are available. Do see our brother Robert Catterson about those. They're $350 each. And then the Nepal appeal we mentioned there, the leaflets are to hand. Also, could I mention just a little book that we've produced on Dr. Paisley's life of prayer in relation to his prayer life, A Man of Prayer, A Man with Power. And if you're interested, you can take these books freely. And do please, if you want to give one to a friend, pass it out to a friend. You can do that as well as you leave the service tonight. They're available to please remember that. And then, remember, very important, put your clocks back 1 hour next Saturday night. You can come an hour earlier to pray if you want. That's okay. We need to do that, but please remember that for next Saturday evening. Now, we're going to sing the first hymn tonight. It'll be on the screen. Can we keep our seats as we sing? And then we will stand after this hymn for prayer. 267, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. 267, sorry, and we'll keep our seats as we sing.
Amen. Let us pray. Eternal, gracious, loving Father, we bow in thy holy presence tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for gathering us together in this, the house of God, tonight. We thank thee for those who have been able to come safely tonight. And we pray that thou will keep us all safe in these times in which we live. Remember those, O God, who are particular in our prayers. We pray that thou wilt minister to them and meet their need, whether at home or shielding, or it's impossible for them for some other reason to be here. We pray for any who have grown complacent and careless in their church attendance, even through these times, O God, that thou wilt stir them again and give them an interest again to come to the house of God with regularity, and, Lord, to love the place of God wherein thine honor dwells. We pray, Father, that you'll bless your servant who has come amongst us to sing the gospel tonight, that thou wilt fill her with the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt use her, O God, tonight, that she might be amongst us as the Lord's instrument, even for thy glory. We pray that you'll help us as we take up thy word later on in the service. We pray for the Spirit of God to move upon hearts tonight, for any in this building tonight who are unsaved, any linking into this service tonight who know thee not. We pray, O God, that thou wilt speak to their hearts. Lord, that thou wilt open their minds, their hearts, and their consciences to the gospel of Christ. And grant that tonight some soul or souls will come through for thee, even at this time. We ask of thee for any who are backslidden, that thou wilt bring them back to their first love, and that they may rejoice again in the joy of thy salvation. We pray, Father, tonight that you remember, O God, the needs of those who are sick. We pray for Mary on Wednesday that thou wilt go before her, that thou wilt touch her. Thank you for others in her midst tonight and others at home who have been recovering from various procedures. We pray that thou wilt continue to minister to them and to heal them. Remember Dr. Cairns at this time and his wife. Touch thy servants, we pray, and restore them to health and to strength. We pray for Mrs. Stewart, who's been hospitalized and now lies ill at home. Thy servant, Lord, is sick. We pray for thy healing, if it is your will. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt take her in your arms, that thou wilt be with the family at this time, we ask of thee. We pray for our land and our nation in this world. O God, in their godlessness, we pray that thou wilt turn the hearts of our leaders to thee. And we pray that thou wilt guide them in their decision making. And grant, Lord, that righteousness will come to our land and to our nation, to this world, even at this time. O God, meet with us now and bless us with thy presence. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're delighted to have our sister Carla with us tonight. I always call her Carla Gregg, but she's now Carla Hunter, isn't that right? And we're delighted to have her husband with us tonight again as well. And we're going to welcome her now. She's going to come and minister a couple of pieces to us. Thank you.
Well, hello. Just lovely to be here this evening. I'm used to singing loads throughout the year around different churches, but obviously this year has been a little different, so this is only the second time this year that I've been able to come out and serve and share with others in ministry. So, do you know, a lot of phrases have been thrown around in the last number of months, and one that sticks out with me, and if I had a pound for every time someone said this to me, I'd be a rich woman. Strange times, isn't it? And it is. A lot has happened this year that I suppose we didn't see coming, but it's good tonight to be able to stand here as the child of the risen King and be able to say that God is still in control and that God is still on the throne. Take encouragement tonight from the words of this lovely song, "I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow."
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't bother
With that.
Thank you, Carla, for that beautiful ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts.
We'll be hearing from you a little later in the service. Reading together from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. You remember, we are in the Gospel of John in our Sunday evening services and the miracles of Christ. And tonight again, we're in this Gospel, chapter 6, and beginning to read at the opening verse. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the opening verse. Let us hear the word of God. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did in them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered together them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 14, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Hymn number 292. And again, keeping our seats as we sing together. And then as we finish this, our sister Carla will come and bring her final message in song. 292. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, into thy wealth, out of my sin, and unto thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Keeping our seats, and let us sing unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Carla for that beautiful ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts tonight. Let's stand for a moment, please, as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank thee for thy word in song tonight. And, O God, we pray that souls will think about their soul tonight. Men and women will think about eternity. And we pray that souls tonight will come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Grant us help from heaven now in the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention again tonight to the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. And tonight we're in the 6th chapter. The subject tonight is little as much when God is in it. Little as much when God is in it. We're thinking here, of course, of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And that phrase, little as much, when God is in it, sums up this miracle. God took that which was little and accomplished great things, mighty things, to the glory of his great name. And here we come to the 4th miracle that is recorded of the 8 that we have in the Gospel of John. The first two being private in John chapter 2. And in John chapter 4, the turning of the water into wine in chapter 2 and the healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4. And then last time we looked at the healing at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5, which was in a public place. And here again we have this miracle taking place in a public place. The feeding of the 5,000. A demonstration of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ for all to witness. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle of such magnitude that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. Here in John chapter 6, also in Matthew chapter 14, in Mark chapter 6, and in Luke chapter 9. A great multitude on this occasion had been following the Lord Jesus Christ for several days, listening to his teaching and beholding the miracles which he performed. Jesus had tried to get away to rest from the pressures of the crowd, but the crowd pressed upon him. Mark chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. The Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on this great company of people who came to him. We read in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? The Lord had compassion on these people. Jesus Christ had concern for them. He cared for them. He has compassion upon you tonight. In the waywardness of your life, in the path that you're traveling along with your particular needs tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ cares for you. He cares for us all. The Bible says he careth for you. And he was faced with a seemingly impossible situation here. A great company of people, 5,000 needing to be fed. And little in the way to feed them. 5,000 in urgent and desperate need. And yet he displayed his miracle-working power to meet their need in a very abundant fashion. A large crowd of people in physical need. And Jesus, by his mighty power and with the cooperation of his disciples, met that need. In this world tonight, there are vast multitudes of men and women who are in desperate spiritual need. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to meet that need.
And perhaps you've come to this service tonight and you're empty and you need that spiritual food. You need that need met within your heart tonight. Well, thank God, whatever your need is, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing and able to meet you at the point of your need. And may you be met by the Lord right now, just where you are tonight. That you will know in your heart, in your experience, His life-changing power at this very moment. Little is much when God is in it. I want you to see three simple things in this wonderful miracle that the Lord performed. First of all, I want you to see the throng. The scene here is the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, called, according to verse 1, the Sea of Tiberias. And the crowds which dogged His footsteps were eager to see His miracles, and more miracles than that which they had already seen. They took note of His departure and they hurried around that lake. And though theirs was a longer journey than His, they made haste and were there waiting for Him when the vessel carrying the Lord Jesus Christ came to the shore. So much for His needed rest. And with the crowd still thronging all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ headed for the mountains. Those mountains that rise steeply to the eastern side of the lake, now known as the Golan Heights. The multitudes followed, full of eager expectation. The Bible tells us here, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. Verse 2. And the Lord Jesus Christ found a suitable spot where the crowds could find a place to sit down, to be seated, and to be settled, for the people to gather around the Savior. The Bible tells us in verse 4 that the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. It's interesting to notice that there are three Passovers mentioned in John's Gospel in chapter 2, verse 13. Again here in chapter 6, verse 4. And yet again in chapter 11, verse 55. This was the second of the Passovers that were mentioned. And the Lord Jesus Christ went up to Jerusalem on the first and third occasion of the Passover feast. But on this occasion He remained in Galilee. It is likely that the regular crowds, which would have swelled the occasion, were around at that particular time. The pilgrims heading for Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Passover. And so there were great throngs that sought for the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the first four verses of this chapter. The Lord was still riding on this crest of popularity in rural Galilee. You will notice also, not only the great throngs that sought the Lord Jesus Christ, but the great throngs that were stirred, that stirred the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 5 to 9, we notice that. And we learn from the parallel accounts in the other Gospels that they stayed all the day listening to His teaching. You take, for example, Luke chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, the day began to wear away. The day was now far spent. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, when it was evening. And so we have here the throng that stirred the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting. They were watching. They were wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to do something. And the Lord's heart went out in tenderness to this throng of people, which comprised 5,000 men beside women and children. So there were many more than 5,000 that were gathered on this occasion. The children were getting tired by now, the disciples impatient, and all were hungry. Here we have the starving throng. And surely it's a picture of mankind tonight. It's a picture of those without the Lord Jesus Christ, traveling the course of this world, traveling the path of disobedience and disregard for God's word, going in their pleasure seeking, and yet in their heart of hearts, they are starving for want of that spiritual food that they so desperately need, the bread of life. Maybe that's how it is with you tonight. There is that inner longing for something that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can give you. What throngs of souls are in this world tonight? Multitudes of men and women and children in need of this bread of life to satisfy the desperate spiritual hunger of their hearts. And our cities and our towns and our villages and our country districts have so many such people. And all across this land and across this world, to the uttermost parts of it, there are crowds of people. And oh, that we might see them as Jesus sees them, with concern, with compassion, with care toward their never-dying souls. He saw the multitude here, this vast throng of people, as he saw the multitudes in the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over that city. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, but ye would not. The Lord Jesus Christ had compassion upon this multitude. He was moved with compassion toward them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord not only sees the multitude, but he sees the individual too. For the multitudes are made up of individuals such as you and I. And he's moved with compassion toward your needy soul tonight. Whoever you are, and wherever you may be in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about you, as he was concerned about this throng. The throng. But I want you to see, secondly, in this miracle tonight, not only the throng, but the test. You see, the Lord saw this as an ideal opportunity to put his disciples to the test. Look at verses 5 and 6 of the portion here in John chapter 6. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He singles out Philip here. Philip came from the neighboring town of Bethesda, chapter 1, verse 44. It would require a merchant of no small means with stock on hand sufficient to supply the needs of such a multitude at such short notice. And the Lord, of course, here was testing Philip. And John hastens to record that. This he said to prove him. He already knew what Philip intended to do. And the Lord knows all things. He knows everything about us. He understands our thought processes. He understands our heart. Here, not only was the starving throng, but here was the striking test. Instead of referring the problem back to Jesus in simple faith, we discover Philip did some mental arithmetic here in view of the scope of the problem. Look at verses 5 to 7 here. We discover what he did. "When shall we buy bread," he said, verse 5, "that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." 200 pennyworth of bread. Since a working man was content with a penny as fair wages for a day's work, according to Matthew 20, verse 12. Philip estimated it would take the best part of 2/3 of a laborer's annual wages to buy the minimum amount of what was required to feed this multitude. And that would by no means be enough to give everyone a satisfactory meal. The entire idea of buying enough bread was ridiculous. Philip viewed it as absolutely impossible. But my friend, with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There is nothing he cannot do. There is nothing he cannot do. And the number 200 here is of great significance in the Word of God. As indicated here, it is the number of insufficiency. Trace it back to the story of Achan there, where it's mentioned in Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 to 21. It's also mentioned in 2 Samuel 14 concerning Absalom. It's also mentioned in the story of the apostate Micah of Mount Ephraim in Judges 17. In the prophecy of the armies that will engage in the battle at the end of time in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 16. It's the number of insufficiency. 200 penny worth of bread was not sufficient to meet the need of this multitude. In the meantime, Andrew had been looking around. He had spotted a lad. And the word for lad here is the word that means a little boy. Preparing to do something about his own hunger. He had come prepared. He had a lunch with him. You can imagine that his mother had given him permission to go, presumably with friends or relatives or others, to hear this great teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, to join in that company. And so she'd packed him a lunch. Maybe Andrew had approached the lad, of course we don't know for definite, to see if he would consider sharing his lunch with Jesus. But there was unbelief here. You'll notice in verse 7 how Andrew refers to the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said in verse 9, but what are these among so many? What are these among so many? You see the unbelief. And he thinks about the smallness of the provision. But we repeat tonight, as we said at the beginning, little is much when God is in it. The idea of feeding all those people was wholly illogical to Philip and also to Andrew. 5 barley loaves. Barley was the food of the poor. The loaves were small, flat barley wafers. The fish was about the size of sardines. Seemingly totally insignificant. The meal was barely sufficient for one hungry boy. Remember, it was this boy's lunch. This little boy's lunch. And certainly, it would have provided no more than 1 or 2 mouthfuls for a hungry man. They looked on it, what was here and what they had, as being insufficient, inadequate. But my friend, here is a perfect provision. 5 plus 2 equals 7, and 7 is the number of perfection in the Word of God. Here is God's perfect provision. 5 is the number of grace. 2 is the number of witness. And here is the witness to God's marvelous, wonderful grace to this multitude, to this throng. God's free, undeserved, unmerited favor towards this needy people. And my friends, tonight, Jesus Christ is the same today as he was then. He's willing and able tonight to provide for you what you desperately need to satisfy the hunger of your soul tonight, to make what is to you seemingly impossible gloriously possible. And so we have the throng and we have the test. But I want you to see, finally tonight, we have the thrill in verses 10 to 13. What a thrilling episode we have here. The stage is set for this miracle. There they were, thousands of them, men and women and children. They were worried. You have the unbelieving disciples, helpless in the face of enormous needs. And there stood up that little anonymous little boy. You think of the number of times in Scripture where people's names are not mentioned. But they did a very, very important work. Think of the man that carried the pitcher of water into the place where they were going to provide and prepare the supper for the Lord. And here's this little boy, anonymous. And yet he's willing to give up his lunch for Jesus. And there stood the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of the living God, about to demonstrate what can happen when anyone is surrendered to God. And Jesus took what was given to him and transformed that which was given to him. First, you will notice he made the people sit down in verse 10. Then in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. He took those loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to the people, and the fishes too. And there was plenty for everyone. Something amazing had taken place. Here were this crowd. They were sitting and they were settled. And all was structured. Because the Bible tells us in Luke's account that they were sitting in their 50s. You see what God does, he doesn't do in any haphazard way. He does it in a structured way. Because God does all things decently and in order. And this was an absolutely a case in point. What a marvelous miracle took place. An amazing intervention by the Lord Jesus Christ to provide adequate and ample provision for every man, woman, and child in that multitude. And let me say to you tonight, here were a people who were empty. They were hungry. It's a picture of the emptiness of men and women in this world without Christ. And you've come here tonight and you feel that void within your being, that vacuum within your heart tonight. There's an emptiness this world can never fill. You've tried the world for satisfaction, but you've been disappointed. Even distressed by the world. And you find yourself in a state of depression tonight because the world and what it has offered to you has disappointed you. And all that the world can offer you can never fill the void of your heart. You've tried the broken cisterns, but the waters have failed. You are in want tonight, in desperate need, as these people were here. See the emptiness of the people of this world tonight. People are wringing their hands tonight. What's going to happen next? How can I get back to my pleasure again? How can I get back to my worldly friends again? How can I get back to my immoral living again? How can I do the things that I want to do? But God is not in their thoughts, my friend. God is not in their thoughts. The emptiness of the world. They're looking for satisfaction, but they're looking in the wrong places. The hymn writer penned those words, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee." Here were a people who were empty, but here were a people who were filled. They were filled. Look at verses 11 and 12. The Bible tells us that when the distribution was made, they were filled. Look at verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." There was plenty for everyone. What a contrast to the words of Philip. Back in verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. But my friend, there is a sufficiency in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the one who can meet your need and meet it abundantly tonight. The miracle took place by the intervention of the Savior and in the hands of the Savior, not in the hands of the disciples. They were only the ones that distributed the loaves and fishes. The Lord multiplied the food. They only had the joyful privilege of passing it out. My friend, there is a fullness in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that fills the emptiness that is in the hearts of men and women. You remember that prodigal in Luke chapter 15? When he began to be in want in the world, the Bible tells us there in Luke 15, he came to himself. He realized that in his father's house there was bread enough and to spare. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And when he came home and was received by the Father, he received that plenteous provision. The table was spread. There was ample there. The hunger that he felt within his being was forever satisfied. The Bible speaks of the fullness that is available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness that is available to us in Christ. John chapter 1, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. What a thrill there was amongst this multitude when they were filled. What joy there was in the Father's house when the provision was laid upon the table for the prodigal son. There was bread enough and to spare for this multitude. 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained were gathered up. When people are received the fullness that Christ gives, the bread of life, there is always more left for others. You see, God's provision is an inexhaustible resource, my friend. An inexhaustible resource. Here we have a starving throng. Here we have a striking test. But here we have a satisfied throng. They were satisfied with what the Lord gave to them. And I tell you tonight in this meeting, you can be satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ will give to you tonight if you will come to Him. Joy will fill your heart. You will be satisfied not only for now, but for all eternity. When you partake of God's so great salvation. Here was little, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, seemingly insignificant, seemingly inadequate, yet by the Lord's miracle working power, it became much, and a great work was done, for little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And what glory was brought to the Lord's name? Look at verse 14 of the passage, when those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They recognized that this was indeed the Messiah. Their eyes were open to behold him. They laid hold upon the truth. And what a thrill came to their hearts when they saw this miracle and they recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. May your eyes be open tonight in this service as you listen to God's word to behold the Lord Jesus Christ, that at this very moment tonight you may behold him and he might become the Lord and Savior of your life. What glory will be brought to the Lord's name if you will take of the bread of life tonight and have that spiritual need that you have within your soul met by the Savior. Miracle of feeding the 5,000. A servant of the Lord many years ago was distributing Gospels of John in the central provinces of India. And he came to some non-Christians on the train. He offered a man a Gospel of John. The man took it and he tore it in pieces. And in his anger, he threw the pieces out of the window of the train. Seemed to be the end of the matter, but it happened to be in the providence of God. There was a man anxious of seeking for truth. He was walking along the railway line. And as he walked along the railway line, he picked picked up a piece of paper and looked at it, and the words in his own language were the bread of life. The bread of life. He didn't know what it meant. But he inquired among his friends, and one of them said, I can tell you, it's out of that Christian book. You must not read it or you will be defiled. But such was the man's anxiety. He said, I want to read that book. And so he made his way and he purchased a New Testament. And he was shown where the sentence occurred in the Word of God, the Lord's words, I am the bread of life. He was instructed in the gospel of Christ, and the light of the gospel flooded into his heart, and he came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. He became a preacher of the gospel in the central provinces of India. That little piece of paper, through God's Spirit, was indeed the bread of life to satisfying the deepest need of his heart. My dear friend, tonight, within the hearing of this preacher, there is a bread of life that is available to you tonight. Will you partake of that bread? Partake of Christ tonight. Take him as your own and personal Savior. Before you leave this church tonight, close with Christ as he's offered to you in the gospel. Don't leave it another moment. But tonight, call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A miracle can be done in your heart tonight, as it was done so long ago for 5,000 people, and more than that, women and children also. May God do a work of grace within your heart tonight. We're turning to our concluding hymn tonight as we remain seated, and then we'll stand after the singing of this for the closing prayer. 288, I'm coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. 288 on page 292 if you have a hymn book, but you can find it on the screen in front of you anyway. Let us pray. God has spoken to you tonight. You know your need of God's salvation. You're not saved. Do please, before you leave tonight, just on the way out, even speak to me. I'll be out there somewhere, standing a safe distance. But do wait. We're happy to open God's word with you and point you to the one who can meet your need. Don't leave without Christ. After the prayer, you be seated, and then the brethren will indicate to you when it's safe to just go out at a safe distance. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight. Thank you for thy word. Apply it with power to the hearts of every here. And we pray that tonight souls will be brought to Christ and trust in him as their Savior. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.